It's time for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, sponsored by Trenton Interiors. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue goes deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Tonight's show on ESPN 97.7 is also brought to you by National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Delta Broadband, Walpole Tire, and Fairway Carts.
Welcome into Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN 97.7. I'm Jason Jones, joined here by Matt Valcho and Ben Carlisle. We've got a little change with Bleed Tech Blue. Jay Ford, who got this thing rolling and made it bigger than we ever thought it would be, he has decided to step down from Bleed Tech Blue Radio and .com. And we've got a new host, Ben Carlisle. Ben, glad to have you and look forward to doing this for a long time.
Good to be here. I'm excited for this opportunity. This is something I've always dreamed of. Thankful that Jay Ford gave me the opportunity. I'd love to be here.
Well, we're going to get into a lot of stuff. There's a lot going on at Tech. We've got, you know, basketball, football, obviously recruiting, and then we've got Tech baseball coming up at what, 6:15, so in the next segment.
Oh, yeah, baseball season's 1 month away. It's crazy that it's creeped up on us so quick. Coach Burrows, first-year coach coming in from Northwestern State, has a very talented squad that he's taken over. You look at the basketball team coming off two huge road victories at ODU and at Charlotte. A lot of exciting things going on at Tech these days.
Yeah, I mean, those are two enormous wins. At Charlotte, I mean, Charlotte's 8-9 right now, not having the greatest season, but, you know, still they're one of the basketball schools in this conference. And to go on the road and win it all in this conference is hard. But then to back it up with the Old Dominion, who's 11-7, ranked in the top 150 in the country, which is a big deal when you're talking about our RPI. Getting those back-to-back wins is big, and it kind of sets you up now. You've got a couple of home games this week against teams you should beat. Now, I know Rice is a little bit improved, but then you go next week on the road at UAB and Middle Tennessee.
Those are going to be tough.
Those are super
really
tough.
Really tough.
But now they've proved to themselves that they can win on the road.
Got the momentum rolling.
And UAB, I mean, they're 11-7, but they're still UAB. And then Middle Tennessee is just on fire right now. They're 15-3. They're ranked in the top 50 in the country.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think you look at those two road wins last week, especially winning at Old Dominion. That's a school that Tech's had trouble with ever since they entered Conference USA. And as far as a basketball school, it's a hard place to play at. I remember when Speedy Smith and Raheem Appleby and them were seniors. It was just they beat Tech from the tip. And so that was definitely a good momentum builder. And like you said, coming home to Rice in North Texas should be able to keep the momentum rolling for a young Bulldog basketball team that has a lot of talent, but it's still putting it all together. But Coach Conklin's doing a great job.
And Tech is favored. We love to go to MasseyRatings.com. Tech is favored in every game the rest of the year, except for those two road games, UAB and Middle Tennessee. The very end of the season, they're a slight underdog to Rice on the road, but I don't consider that an underdog.
I mean, being honest, I would love for Tech to win both of those, but one win out of those two is a plus.
Yeah,
they're both really big road games.
You beat Middle Tennessee and you're knocking off the top team in the conference. You beat UAB and, hey,
you're beating
beat
a
UAB,
team
that's
that,
great.
That consistently just takes out Tech in the conference tournament, too. It seems like every year.
Well, because it's in Birmingham.
That's another soapbox that we could get started. Last week was soapbox week in the first segment, but we could get on that one again. Need a little bit of a change there.
I look at that UAB team, too. Tech, it should have a golden opportunity to go in there and win. They're missing their star point guard, Nick Norton. He went down early in the season with an injury. UAB, they did lose their conference opener at Middle Tennessee, but I don't think that surprises any of us considering the talent that Middle Tennessee possesses. But the last four times out, this UAB squad's looking really good.
And we'll definitely get into those two games next week, and we'll break those down a little bit more. Can't overlook Rice coming in this Thursday. I know we kind of talked past them a little bit, but you know, Tech lost their last home game to San Antonio, 69-68. So, got to get home and get right. And Rice does have Marcus Evans, one of the top scorers in the league. And they've got the forward. I'm not going to even try to pronounce his name. But, you know,
Kulichov, I think.
Kulichov. He's pretty
he's
good,
averaging,
too. So, they've got a nice 1-2 point.
I think Kulichov's shooting 55% from three, leading the country as well.
He's averaging 19.9 points per game, 53% field goal rating, 84% from the line. And I mean, yeah, you can't overlook Rice. And I mean, I guess that is why they are favored at home later in the season. They're 10-7 and 10-7. We're like it. Tech's 11-6, but the telling stat that makes this game on Thursday so kind of important is away from home, Rice is 6-1. They've had plenty of wins on the road, and I hate to say it, but the Thomas Assembly Center is not the fortress that it once was. I mean, you look at the loss the last week and especially last year losing the home streak to Old Dominion and Florida Gulf Coast here at home, it's no longer a guaranteed win.
It's not, but Florida Gulf Coast was, what, a one-point loss? San Antonio,
they are one-point losses, but still.
San Antonio was a one-point loss, so the Dogs do have a little chink in the armor. They're not 100% invincible at home, but it's not like anybody's going to come in here and just totally blow them away. It's still Tech's game to lose, and they just gave up a big lead against San Antonio. It's kind of hard to explain.
Oh, yeah, I think Tech relaxed a little bit, and down the stretch, UTSA kept making the most of their opportunities that they were given, and Tech wasn't executing in the half court as well as they normally do, and that's what happens. You end up losing to a team you shouldn't lose to, but I think it might have got this young team focused, as you could tell, as they went on the road at Charlotte and ODU, like we mentioned. But, yeah, coming back home against Rice, that'll be it. That's a big two-game swing that could put Tech in the driver's seat for the conference if they can go on the road and perform well against UAB and Middle Tennessee afterwards.
And we'll talk a lot more basketball coming up at 7 o'clock. We had a big commitment over the weekend, Milton Williams, defensive end out of Crowley, Texas. Tech dipping back in to that Dallas-Fort Worth area. I know a lot of Tech fans were hoping maybe Dennis Collins from West Monroe might have a chance that he would decommit from TCU and come over to Tech. This probably signifies that that's not going to happen. I'm sure Tech coaches would still take Dennis if he decides he wants to stay closer to home. But Milton committing is probably a sign that Tech's wanting to make sure they get some defensive ends in the bag. And, you know, it's kind of funny. Tech, you know, has seen a lot of defensive linemen from Northeast Louisiana go to TCU over the years, and we went over there for the bowl game, and of course we saw their facilities, and it's, you understand, you know, how they can attract top recruits, especially being in the Big 12. But Tech still, it's funny, they might lose players to TCU, but then Tech will turn around and go to Dallas-Fort Worth and get some really top talent over there.
Oh yeah, I think this Williams kid, he's a big pickup out of East Texas, and I think that, you know, you put him with Kurt Hester for a year or two, and he puts on 45 pounds. He could become the next, you know, Jalen Ferguson, the next Deldrick Canty, as Tech's looking for at all times. But another commitment that Tech picked up was Jordan Baldwin, the cornerback from Iowa. I think he's originally from a meet, and he's a former teammate of Tech QB commit Elijah Walker. So that's another pickup for Tech in the secondary, and I think we all know that Tech could use a little bit of help in the secondary, and adding this experience to the secondary is a big pickup as well.
Yeah, getting the experience back there, and it doesn't hurt that he knows Elijah Walker. It kind of helps solidify Walker's commitment a little bit. You know, maybe that'll help some. Because to me, Walker is one of the most exciting commitments in the class. You know, we had, Amik Robertson was in there, and he decommitted, and now he's looking at LSU and Houston, and some other schools have tried to come in, Oklahoma State or Texas. But to me, he was the most exciting on defense, and then Walker is on offense. But then, boom, as soon as Robertson decommits, you get two new commitments in the secondary. And you mentioned how bad Tech needs help in the secondary, but the two Neville kids, Andrews and Cole, I mean, those are enormous. And I talked about TCU earlier coming in and stealing Northeast Louisiana kids. These kids had offers from SEC schools all over the country, you know, bigger schools all over the country, not just the SEC schools. And this is the kind of the start of Tech. Tech fans for the last several years have been like, when are we going to get these local kids to stay home? Well, boom, there they are. I mean, they're seeing, you know, players like Jelly Bean Ellis from Neville go to the NFL, and Xavier Woods is about to get his shot out of West Monroe. You know, Tech's got 15 players in the NFL right now, the same number as TCU, the same number as Mississippi State. You don't have to go out of state to make it to the league. All you got to do is stay local, work hard, go through that strength program with Kurt Hester, and you've got a chance.
Oh, yeah, and I think you look at Andrews and Cole, they were – probably chomping at the bit at the opportunity to possibly play early, get some tape out there, because those kids come from a winning program, and I think those are the type of kids that you want in your program that'll feed those other kids that you have that may come from a less successful high school but are extremely talented. But, yeah, Tech's doing a great job along the recruiting trail, and I look forward to it to continue. I think Trey Coleman's on a visit this week. He's a Tennessee commit. another West Monroe High School product. I'm sure Tech fans would love to have him, and he would absolutely be a huge addition with Jared Kraft and Boston Scott being seniors for the 2017 season.
Yeah, how big do you think it is to get another running back in this class?
I think it is a big pickup. You look at Jacquees Dancy with his cancer that he's had. I think he's made it through his last round of chemo. But, you know, after those two seniors, Boston Scott and Jared Kraft, you have Jacquees, and then we have a freshman behind him.
Well, so, and the freshman, is it Israel Tucker, I think, from Rommel?
Coming off ACL injury.
ACL injury. So he's still a question mark.
Oh, yeah, I think it'd be a huge pickup for Tech to add some depth to that running back class. And I think also playing running back at the Division I level is probably one of the easier positions to play as a true freshman. So I think Coleman Mike could possibly come in and contribute on kick returns or something of that nature.
Well, and one young running back I'd like to keep an eye on is Dee Fleming, the walk-on out of Natchez area. I think he's going to be a really solid player. You know, you mentioned the two seniors. Once they move on, watch out for Fleming. He might even earn a scholarship. I mean, he's that good, and he's a pretty strong runner. So, you know, Tech's the cover's definitely not bare, but, yeah, I agree with you. I think you would like to see a running back in this class.
Oh, yeah, Fleming's that smaller type back, too, a little bowling ball type that can really get upfield and fight for some yards.
Spring will be really interesting to see how he might factor into the season next year. Maybe just trying to get Fleming a couple touches in anticipation that, yeah, I mean – you're going to be losing two guys that have really taken the load, especially last year, and I'm assuming this upcoming year.
Yeah, he's a little bit taller than Boston Scott, but he's really kind of – Boston's kind of taking him under his wing. You know, he kind of looks up to Boston being a former walk-on, and I think maybe he could have a similar career path. We'll see. Well, hey, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come back. We'll have Lane Burrows, head coach baseball for Louisiana Tech. We'll be back right after this.
Making your interior design dreams come true. Trenton Interiors and Company in Ruston. Granite and quartz countertops, wood, tile, and vinyl flooring, wallpaper, fabrics, furniture, and lighting, all selected with the help of a professional designer. Owners and designers Julie Mays, David Hedgebeth, and Britt Schoat can turn your dreams into a reality. Trenton Interiors and Company, 111 North Trenton, downtown Ruston, in the historic Rogers Furniture Building. For an appointment, call 255-7698.
Hey, there he is. See him up on the ridge? That's that big buck I've been telling you about.
Wow, look at that rack. He's huge.
Shh, keep it down. Don't want to spook him.
Spook him? What are you talking about? He's got to be deaf. He didn't even hear us right in here, did he?
Shh. Well, of course he didn't hear us, because we rode in on my bad boy buggy, duh. Nothing's gonna hear a bad boy coming.
Gotta admit, that bad boy is quiet. Where'd you get it?
In Mendon, over at Fairway Carts. And man, you wouldn't believe the deal they made me.
I might just have to check out a bad boy myself, because my old ride wouldn't have even made it this deep in the woods.
Yeah, well, that's that dependable bad boy power, buddy. You know, if your goal is to bag a buck, first you gotta get to him. Shh, I've got a shot. Got him.
Check out the full line of Whisper Quiet Bad Boy Buggies from Fairway Carts in Minden. Online at fairwaycarts.net.
Bulldog fans, this is Chris Brister from Brister's Smokehouse, and I'd like to invite you to our new location, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston, across the street from our old location. Stop in and try our famous scatter load on your choice of four different types of bread. Our barbecue nachos are piled high with your favorite type of meat. And you have to taste for yourself our tender and juicy smoke cooked chicken, my personal favorite. So whether you're in town or at a Tech game or just in the mood for the best barbecue in town, come see us at Brister's Smokehouse, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston.
Got an anniversary coming up? How about a special birthday? Getting ready to propose? Or have you gotten yourself in one of those spots that only a diamond could say, I'm sorry for what happened? Well, for any special occasion that only diamonds will work for, visit National Jewelry for any budget for any occasion. National Jewelry features the top names in jewelry. Gabriel, Simon G, Coast Diamonds, Natalie K. When you need some sparkle and shine and smile, see National Jewelry, Reynolds Drive, Ruston.
Uh-huh.
Welcome back to Bleed Tape Blue Radio on ESPN 97.7. I'm Jason Jones, joined by Ben Carlisle, Matt Valcho. Our title sponsor is Trent Interiors. Go see Julie Mays, David Hedgepeth, or Britt Schoep in the historic Rogers Furniture Building in downtown Ruston. Matt, who else do we have sponsoring us tonight?
Also sponsoring Bleed Tech Blue Radio is Dairy Queen, Brennan Dodge, National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Walpole Tire, Delta Broadband Solutions, Ideal Portable Buildings, and Brister Smokehouse.
Well, we're happy to be joined by Lane Burrows, head coach of the Louisiana Tech baseball team, the Diamond Dogs. Coach, how's it going?
Hey, guys, going great. I appreciate you having me on tonight.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for coming on. So I'm assuming you're still – I know it's kind of cold weather, rainy, but y'all have got the season coming fastly approaching. I'm assuming y'all have been in there working hard, and if it's raining, you're probably in the batting cages.
Yeah, that's a fact. It's not baseball season unless it's cold and rainy. So we're in the phase right now where we call it individual skill work, where we're able to work with a few guys. We only get 2 hours per week with each guy, and January the 27th will be our first day of official practice. And up until that time, like I said, we can only go 2 hours a week on the field. And this is a time of year, you know, I've never been a part of the quarter system, so it was good to get our guys back early on the backside of Christmas and get them going. So essentially, I'm sitting here, and our staff, we have a big league spring training, basically. A lot of time to get ready before February 17th when we open our season.
Yeah, Coach, it's Ben Carlisle here. I'm sure, you know, with 1 month out from the season, I think today, you know, you have a team, experienced team, coming off of 42 wins. How do you expect your veteran squad to handle being the target now that Arkansas, Mississippi State, Rice won't be overlooking your team anymore?
I think you used the right word when you said target, and I think our challenge will be keeping that hunger. One good thing about it, and this is my 23rd year coaching collegially, and it's probably the first time I've came into a new job where a team's coming off a good year. And, you know, I think Coach Goff and those guys did a great job, and happy to have Coach Ostrander back and doing a phenomenal job as associate head coach and with our pitchers. But the one good thing about it is the young men that are coming back, and we have a lot of players back. We got 15 seniors on the ball club, and they got a taste of postseason last year. And that's huge, you know, a program that, quite frankly, hadn't been there in a long time. And for those guys to get a taste of it and some big wins. You beat a program like Cal State Fullerton in that setting and what they've done historically. I think that they like the way it tasted, and they want to go back, and they want to go further. And sometimes you got to crawl before you walk, and the fact that these young men, it's just great. A lot of them have been in postseason play now, and I can assure you, just based on what we saw in the fall and here in the early spring, they're wanting to go back and go even further.
Yeah, and you talk about you coming from Northwestern State, and I'm sure you're familiar with that quote-unquote dirtbag mentality that Coach Goff's squads carry with them. Is there any type of persona that you were looking to instill in these guys when you became the new head coach?
Well, it's the same. That's not going to change. I think me and Greg go way back, and I competed against him as a player and as a coach. We go all the way back to Mississippi College Delta State days. We're talking early 90s now, and I think, you know, we're both cut out of the same cloth. We both had to fight and claw for everything we've ever gotten. And that's the way I coach. That's the way I recruit. And that's the way I want our players to be. And we got that. I think you have to be that. I think these boys showed that last year. And I want guys that play with an edge. I want them to have a chip on their shoulder. And I think we have that. I think they did a great job implementing that as the culture here, and that's not going to change, I can assure you. As long as I'm the head coach here, we're going to have a bunch of young men that play hard, and they're going to do things right on and off the field, and I can't promise you winning every time. We're not going to win every game. I don't think any college baseball program ever has, but we actually just talked about it tonight. We may lose, but we're going to come back with a vengeance the next day, and that's what we're going to be about.
Yes, sir, and you look at losing Phil Dill, Braden Bristow, Adam Atkins, three of the, you know, quote-unquote better pitchers on your staff last year. I know that Phil Dill and Bristow were two starters, and you have Cameron Link and Casey Sutton returning. Who are some other pitchers that you're looking forward to seeing out on that mound and seeing step up for your ball club?
I think Nathan Harris is a guy that used in relief last year. He's so Coach Ostrander will tell you he was probably the MVP of the baseball team last year, the way they were able to use him. And, you know, the good thing about Nate is he can start, he can be a weekend guy, or he can come out of the bullpen and you can extend him. He can get you more than six outs. He can navigate through a lineup numerous times, and he can throw a midweek game. He can close the game out. He's so valuable, and he can assume so many roles. But looking for a big year from Nate. We junior college transfer Ken Hasler out of Arizona. I would not be surprised if you don't see him on opening Friday night. Got some young guys and new guys that still the jury's out. Matt Miller's another guy from Illinois, junior college, and he would probably assume that closer role that Atkins left open. And, you know, the big thing there is he keeps the ball down, he throws strikes, he's got multiple pitches. And, you know, the jury's still out on a lot of them. It's good to have Link back and healthy. He set out the fall with some shoulder soreness, and he didn't get much work there, but he's come back and he looks great. His pins have been outstanding here early. And like I said, he's a guy that he was on the mound against Fullerton. So he's been through it. And Casey Sutton, I mean, all conference last year. We're expecting huge things from him, but he's a workhorse. He's got the body and he's got the arm, and he's been through it. So, yeah, you're exactly right. There are some guys that have opened up some holes that left the program, but that's the fun part about what we're about to get into in this next phase is seeing guys compete and trying to win those roles.
Hey, Coach, you said that this is probably the first job that you got coming into a team with a winning record. Whenever you took over the club, how did that how was that preparation different from being at a school who wasn't coming off such a great year?
Well, I think number one is you go from, like, and you guys said it earlier that you're not going to sneak up on anybody. You're not going to surprise people. And I think, you know, last year you think about Louisiana Tech sweeping Rice. And I was in Conference USA from 98 to 07 with Southern Miss. And I'm not sure Rice, they had lost too many series. I know they've never been swept in league play, I don't think. So you do stuff like that. You're going to have a target on your back now, and they're going to come after you. It's been good. I mean, you got most of the team back. You got a lot of young men out there that don't like to lose. I think they proved that last year. That's half the battle as a coach. I don't care what sport you're coaching or what age or what level. You got to have a lot of young men or women that, whatever you're coaching, that hate losing more than they like winning. And that's kind of the culture that was set here, and that's the culture will remain here. We have a lot of guys out there that don't enjoy losing ball games. So that's kind of the big difference. They've tasted success, they liked it, and they want to get back. And sometimes you get to that point, it takes a program to get to a regional or get to a super regional and realize, hey, we can compete at a national level, and we can break through and get to Omaha.
Well, and Coach, that brings up my next question. When you were at Southern Miss, y'all went to the regional 6 years out of eight. Is it almost harder to get there the first time, or once you get there, you mentioned those players having that taste of it and they want to get back. Is it almost easier to get there the second time?
Yeah, I think once you establish a tradition and a history of your program, it never becomes easy because people are going to come after you. You're going to get their best shot. So, you know, the big thing I remember there, and I kind of related it to Louisiana Tech when in my press conference back in the summer, is we hosted a regional there in 03, and the program exploded. I mean, people are coming out now that have never been to a ball game, and, hey, this is fun. This is good to watch, and these guys are a good product, and they conduct themselves right on and off the field. And I see that happening here. I mean, the facilities are there. We're playing a tremendous schedule this year. You got the likes of Arkansas and Wichita State coming to your place to play. They have, trust me, they have no shortage of teams wanting to go play them at their places. So I think our facilities are in place for that. We're capable of doing that. You know, some people may say I'm crazy, but that's my vision, and I think you have to have that vision and talk about it for it to happen. So, you know, once you get there and you establish a tradition, a history, and a program, and these young men will fight for it, we're excited about being a part of it, continuing to grow and watch this program flourish.
Well, Coach, we thank you for joining Bleed Tech Blue Radio tonight, and we look forward to the home opener February 17th against Arkansas Pine Bluff.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you so much for having me, and thanks for all you do.
Thanks, Coach. That was Lane Burrows, head coach of Louisiana Tech baseball. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN 97.7. We'll be right back.
Get off the interstate and get into Brennan Dodge Chrysler Jeep and let us show you why your satisfaction is our number one priority. As a certified Chrysler 5-star dealership, we take great pride in the experience you have with us. That's why the customer satisfaction scores you give us continually rank in the highest level. Come see us at Brennan Dodge Chrysler Jeep in Ruston or shop our website at BrennanDodge.com. You'll experience great deals and award-winning service. And you will know why Brennan Dodge is a certified Chrysler 5-star dealer.
Fairway Carts in Mendon, true Blue Tech supporters and Bulldog Country's first choice for carts or just about anything. From a customized easy-go for a day on the golf course to a street-legal multi-passenger cart for the family. Utility carts for any job around the home or farm that needs them to dependable Bad Boy buggies for the hunt. Fairway Carts, your full-line easy-go, Bad Boy, Cushman sales, parts, and service dealer in Mendon. Visit us at fairwaycarts.net.
ESPN 97.7 is presented by the injury attorney Jeff Guerrero in Monroe. If you or someone you love has been injured in an accident or a victim of medical malpractice, you need to go Guerrero.
Making your interior design dreams come true. Trenton Interiors and Company in Ruston. Granite and quartz countertops, wood, tile, and vinyl flooring, wallpaper, fabrics, furniture, and lighting, all selected with the help of a professional designer. Owners and designers Julie Mays, David Hedgepeth, and Britt Schoat can turn your dreams into a reality. Trenton Interiors and Company, 111 North Trenton, downtown Ruston, in the historic Rogers Furniture Building. For an appointment, call 255-7698.
And we're back on Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN 97.7. I'm Jason Jones, joined by Ben Carlisle and Matt Valcho. Our title sponsor is Trent Interiors. Go see them in downtown Ruston in the historic Rogers Furniture Building. Matt, who else do we have sponsoring Bleed Tech Blue Radio?
Dairy Queen, Brendan Dodge, National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Walpole Tire, Delta Broadband Solutions, Brister Smokehouse, and Ideal Portable Buildings. If you want to get in touch with us, call or text us on the Fairway Carts of Mendon hotline or text line at 888-993-7762.
Well, guys, the Bulldog basketball team is coming off a big two wins on the road against Charlotte and Old Dominion, and we were talking about it off the air. I mean, I don't know, maybe it's kind of getting back on the East Coast, getting closer to home, but Daquan Bracey went off.
Obviously, I think that all of Tech Nation's beginning to notice that Daquan Bracey's going to be a star around here. He goes off for, I think it was a career-high 15 points against Charlotte in a huge win, and then he follows it up at ODU with a career-high 21 points, 8 assists. You can't ask much more of the freshman point guard. I think all Tech fans remember Speedy Smith from his days. Daquan Bracey's headed down this path, and it could be even brighter.
Yeah, I mean, I really like Derek Jean, Daquan Bracey, Jalen Harris. I mean, the future's really bright with all those young guards. And, I mean, I think, you know, in college basketball especially, and just the way the game's being played now, you've got to have good guard play to be a winning basketball team. I mean, obviously it helps to have the big boys down low to control the paint, but if you don't have good guard play, you're not going to go anywhere.
I think that's the trend with basketball in general. I mean, you look at the Golden State Warriors, the whole small ball mentality, you no longer have to have that big dominant guy down low like a DeMarcus Cousins. I mean, you can pass the ball, shoot from deep, and you can win basketball games. And I mean, Tech's even shown that in the past. I mean, Michael Kaiser wasn't the biggest guy. I mean, he was extremely tall, and he had more blocks than I can even remember, but
well, yeah, you want that shot blocker, and that's what Janiyah White was brought in here to do, the same thing as Kaiser. You want that shot blocker to start the break, but you don't, and believe me, hey, Omar Sherman, I love having him on this team. You know, he had 12 points, 5 rebounds, you know, and 2 blocks against Charlotte in just 21 minutes. It's a nice luxury to have somebody that you can dump it down to and somebody that can shoot at a high percentage like that, 5 out of 7. But man, these guards are exciting. You know, Bracey, was 6 out of 13 against Charlotte. Derrick Jean was 5 out of 10. And those two guys are just going to push the ball. Jacoby Boykins had 4 steals, 2 out of 3 from deep. It was just a good all-the-way-around win. And then to do it, you know, with Harris was sick and had the big 14-point lead at halftime, Charlotte tried to come back. And that could have been a whole different story, but the Bulldogs were able to hold on.
Well, like you said, two things that really stand out to me about this team is Daquan Bracey. You know, he has around a 4-to-1 assist to turnover ratio, which ranks as number 8 in the country. That's best by a freshman in America, and there's a lot of good freshman point guards around the country this year.
Well, yeah, just look at the top of the NBA draft mock drafts. They're all freshman point guards.
Exactly. And then another guy you look at is Jacoby Boykins. He's been a guy that has been a streaky shooter throughout his career, and now he's becoming the more all-around player that can shoot the three. He's an outstanding defender. Coach Conkle puts him on the best offensive player of the opposing team every night. He's shooting 44% from three, 15 points a game. I think that's something that's going to be huge coming down the stretch where, as we all know, come March, the goal is to win 3 in 3 days.
They seems to escape them, it seems like. Every year, this is the year. And that brings us to next week. Like we said, we'll preview it next week. But UAB always getting in the way and
always being at
stepping
home.
Up. And, yeah, always being at home. But, I mean,
maybe this will be the year that Tech does not have to play UAB until the championship game. You'd hate to be on the same side of the bracket as those guys again. It'd be nice to have maybe Middle Tennessee is the 1 seed and UAB is the 4 and Tech falling in that 2-3 range. But it's never going to go like we want, right?
No.
Well, another thing to point out, too, is we talk about how good of a defense Tech's playing this year. And Mike White's Tech team's always played good defense. This Tech team's different in that they rebound the basketball very well, which is in turn opponents are scoring a lot less points per game. And I think that can be attributed to Janiah White down low. He's a rim protector. He changes shots. He alters shots. Omar Sherman's a very good shot blocker. Jalen Washington coming off the bench, he's got tons of length.
Oh, and he's a pogo stick.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you look at the Charlotte game when they built that 24-25-point lead in the second half, they went to a 1-3-1 zone. And the length that they can put in that 1-3-1 zone is, I would say, it's hard to be matched by a lot of teams in the country.
Yeah, I mean, I really like the kind of the way they built this team, you know, going with all that length on the wings and Matt, you mentioned inside, you know, not just getting your traditional big guys, but having some long shot blockers, athletic guys. You want to start that break and then getting these just super fast guards that can really push the ball. Everybody can shoot the three. And it's really fun. And I think it is built for success in the postseason. So, you know, we'll see how that translates.
I think it is built for the postseason, or at least that's the aim. But the one thing that I do notice that is kind of a concern if you're looking at playing those three games in 3 days is the both games against Charlotte and Old Dominion. And, I mean, it could also be up to Harris being sick, and I don't know if that was for both games or not, but only bringing three guys off the bench in both of those games – where you had
and Powell was one of them. Powell
Washington,
was not playing.
White.
Powell was not playing earlier in the year.
Both
so.
Of them got – or Powell finally got over 10 minutes, but he did not register any points. Washington didn't get any points either. White had 2 against Old Dominion. And then you look at Charlotte.
I think Powell was big against Charlotte. He had 7 rebounds off the bench, and that's his first night. And he probably wasn't even that healthy, honestly.
Powell had 20 minutes off the bench against Charlotte. Washington, 21 – and White 19. They had more points there, but against Old Dominion there wasn't much production from the bench. So in the long run, is that a concerning?
Well, it's a concern to me just because all three of those guys off the bench were forwards. There's no guards off the bench if Jalen Harris is not healthy. So that means, you know, Bracey and Jean have to play a ton of minutes. Boykins is going to have to play some too. They just don't have a lot of depth at guard right now. So, you know, help's coming. You know, they got some guards committed, and they will be here next year. But just kind of a weird transition year. You've got one guy redshirting, and then, of course, you know, the injuries.
And Kedar Davis, a big loss,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Kedar Davis' injury was hurtful at shooting guard. And so that leaves the backcourt a little thin, But, you know, Gene and Boyk and Bracey have really young legs, and they like to run, and so they're going to get a ton of minutes. But hopefully Harris will be healthy the rest of the season, and those three guys can carry the load in the backcourt.
And one thing I think that Gene and Bracey have grown adapted to very well is playing together. Early on when Conklin went to that lineup with Gene at the two guard, I think it was a little tough on Gene early on, but I think he's figured out his role, and him and Bracey are doing a very good job at both taking the reins. They can both play the point guard spot. It doesn't necessarily matter each possession, and they're both doing a great job. Gene's been a lot better in the last five or six games.
Yeah, that, I noticed that too. Is kind of difficult for them to kind of figure it out playing together, and Gene's used to having that ball in his hands. But those two together can be so dynamic, and it's fun to see them kind of grow together. And then, you know, that big win against Old Dominion, we talked about the short bench. You know, Boykins played 38 minutes, McCree 36, Bracey 35. So, ton of minutes for those three guys, and they were the leaders in scoring. You know, Bracey had the 21, Boykins the 15, 4 for 4 from downtown, and McCree had 18 points, 7 rebounds. Sherman had 11 points and 6 rebounds. Back-to-back games with him getting in double figures in points.
Yeah, I think, like you say, you mentioned Omar Sherman. He's going to be crucial come tournament time when shots aren't falling. He's a guy you can throw it to the block, and he can get you a hook shot. He can shoot that mid-range jump shot. That's something that Tech has – it's been a long time since Tech's had one of those on the team. And so that's something that Tech can look forward to in postseason play. Dump it down there. Let him go to work. And although he's only playing around 20 minutes a night, those 20 minutes a night, he's been very valuable.
Yeah, and just having the shot blockers in there, you've got Sherman playing 20 minutes, White playing 21. You're always going to have one of those guys in there, barring foul trouble. Last year, when White was out, you couldn't protect the paint.
Absolutely.
That was horrible on defense. You know, teams were able to get in the lane and do what they wanted to the Bulldogs, so now you can't do that anymore.
Yeah, and you think we talk about how good the defense is. That's without Merrill Holden, and he was the only big guy last year. I think he's off to Iowa State this year, and I'm not sure he's even seeing a ton of minutes at Iowa State. So,
and he was probably 6'7". I mean, he
wasn't a tall guy.
He wasn't real tall. He was a pretty good athlete and a pretty good shot blocker for his size, but he's not near the length of Sherman or White.
Yeah, and I think all this talk that we've had about the success that Tech is having, we haven't even barely mentioned the best player in Eric McCree. He's a guy that struggled early on shooting the ball, but as the season's progressed, he's getting into more and more of a rhythm, and you see him 17 points, 9 rebounds a night, and that's something that Tech needs, that go-to scorer that can go get them a bucket.
You mentioned Merle Holden. He is at Iowa State. This season he's averaging 12, almost 13 minutes. In the past, let's see, 4 games, now that Big 12 play has started, against Kansas, TCU, Oklahoma State, and Texas, he did not play, didn't have any stats whatsoever. And then his last appearance was the 4th in a loss at Baylor. He had 3 minutes, no shots. He had a block and 2 fouls. That's about it.
And another guy that left Tech after last year was Deion Griffin. He was a guy that came into his own a lot last year. I thought Tech was going to miss him, but Bracey and Gene have done a great job at filling that role. And it's almost like Deion never left, especially with Jalen Harris coming in, who's arguably more talented.
Yeah, he is more talented, and he's just younger. And the sky's the limit for that guy. And
Did Deion have to sit out a year?
Yeah, he's not
playing.
Yeah,
he's sitting out at UCF this year.
And so Deion's sitting out. Stapleton is playing for Mississippi State, but I don't think he's getting a ton of minutes.
I think Stapleton's playing around 15 minutes. And I think Stapleton had 2 ACL tears. I think he's lost a lot of his explosiveness, too.
Yeah, and that's what he relied on. I mean, he was an extremely explosive player. But, you know, speaking of former players, and we'll talk about former coaches too, you know, Mike White's got the Florida Gators playing at an extremely high level. You know, we just talked about his former players here in Ruston. But, yeah, he's doing a great job. And then in the break earlier, we were talking about Sonny Dice getting picked up by TCU as an offensive analyst. So he's kind of going the route of what Alabama did, bringing in a former head coach to be their offensive analyst, and Steve Sarkisian, and then he ended up getting to be the coordinator and call the plays in the championship game.
Hopefully, you know, TCU doesn't do that same thing, though.
Yeah.
That ended up being a bit more of a deciding factor than a lot of people thought it would. But
yeah. Well, and TCU, I mean, Dykes has been friends with that program for a long time. I know that he sent coaches over there when he was the head coach at Tech. They would send coaches over to Fort Worth and have them kind of go through some of their practices, just kind of see what they were doing and get some ideas. So they've always been friendly with each other, and it's just a great way for him to stay in the game and still collect that fat check from Cal. Florida at basketball under Mike White, 14-3. Massey has them number 12 in the country. So a lot of questions about, is he too young, you know, not experienced enough for SEC play. You know, he brought all his assistants with him. He didn't bring any veteran assistants with him. Nah, it didn't matter. He's doing a great job over there.
Mike is doing a great job. And like you said, like we all know, he's got to get over that hump and got to take down Kentucky if you want to be the king of the SEC.
That game's on February 4th on Saturday. The time is to be determined, which if it's on a Saturday, that makes me believe it'll be broadcast on
prime
CBS.
Time. Yeah, that'll be a good game. And Mike White does an outstanding job. I think that he's really good at coaching that press and perfecting it, and they do a great job there.
I think all of us knew he would, though. And I mean, being at Louisiana Tech, and that's for any sport, and this could be another soapbox, but any sport that people will say, oh man, Tech's such a stepping stone or whatever. But I mean, I think it's a big what's the word I'm looking for?
It's a compliment to the program.
It's a compliment to the program that you have so many guys have a lot of interest from these big schools, and eventually they do have to take the money. Like, I mean, with White, you can't blame them for not passing up a job like Florida.
That's,
I mean,
kind of
for
same
golf
way with,
too.
Same with golf. Same way with Sonny Dykes. I mean, Sonny Dykes he and White, they got life changing money. You can't turn that down.
I mean, in the case of White, though, I would argue that Florida it's much more of a bigger like program. Not even just the money. I mean, I think White could have gotten the money from Mizzou if he had gone the year before Tennessee, but Florida is a national title winning program.
Oh yeah,
they've got
and Billy
level.
Donovan took that program to new heights and it put them on the map.
Exactly.
Yeah, he took them from a football school to a national contender in basketball every year.
Yep. Maybe not Cal so much with that. I think Dykes was looking for the money, and I mean, I hate to speculate, but all these rumors of him always looking for the next step, next way up. I mean,
I think that's definitely
that
what
was
got
the
him
payday.
Cal.
But yeah. White was definitely looking for the next step in his. Career.
And he was looking for the right step. Right. And I think Dykes did that to a degree. I mean, he interviewed with North Carolina State that year and I believe had an offer from them and chose Cal instead, was trying to look for a little more tradition. And he just, for some reason, always had Cal as a program he thought would be a good fit with him, and it didn't work out. But one other note on former Bulldogs, Andy Robinson, offensive coordinator at Wichita, is now the offensive coordinator at Ruston. So former teammate of Tim Rattay and those guys in the late 90s, coming back to Ruston, got a new head coach for the Bearcats, and we'll see if Robinson can kind of bring that success that they've been having at Wichita over in Ruston, see what I can do with the Bearcat offense.
Another former Tech player news, the former Tech center is now a wide receivers coach with Ole Miss, Jacob Peeler.
Yeah, Peeler, I mean, he's put in so much of his dues. I mean, the guy was like graduate assistant at Tech. He was the weightlifting, you know, strength and conditioning intern.
His first full-time job was at Cal. He was a graduate assistant
with
Dykes and Franklin.
Outstanding recruiter as
well. So he goes to Cal as a GA and just putting in his dues, you know, not getting paid hardly anything, and becomes a great recruiter on campus. And so they had some shakeups last year on their coaching staff, and he was promoted to full-time assistant receivers coach, and he went and got like 13 commitments. And he'll go all over Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi and recruit these four-star kids to Cal. And now he's at Ole Miss. He's from Kosciuszko, Mississippi. I don't know how you pronounce that. It's in between Jackson and Starkville. And he's going to be up there in North Mississippi in his neck of the woods. There's no telling who.
Especially being so close to home.
Yeah, big-time pickup for
Ole
Miss.
He is going to recruit the crap out of Mississippi and just the rest of the South and do a great job. Well, hey, we're going to take a break. We'll be back. And we'll talk a little more basketball, football recruiting. Call us with your questions, 888-993-7762. We'll be right back right after this.
Making your interior design dreams come true. Trenton Interiors and Company in Ruston. granite and quartz countertops, wood, tile, and vinyl flooring, wallpaper, fabrics, furniture, and lighting, all selected with the help of a professional designer. Owners and designers Julie Mays, David Hedgepeth, and Britt Schoate can turn your dreams into a reality. Trenton Interiors and Company, 111 North Trenton, downtown Ruston, in the historic Rogers Furniture Building. For an appointment, call 255-7698.
You cheer for your team, you root for your team, and you live for your team. You are a true football fan. Your North Louisiana Dairy Queen restaurants in Monroe, West Monroe, Ruston, Bossier City, and soon to open in Shreveport invite you to try our fan food favorites. We are locally owned and operated. You love your team, and so do we. Come by one of our locations to support the businesses who support your local team. Dairy Queen, fan food, not fast food.
For all the special dates in your life, it's National Jewelry. For engagement rings, wedding bands, anniversary gifts, birthday surprises, Christmas gifts, Valentine love you gifts, the special sparkle and shine with fine jewelry from Gabriel, Simon G, Coast Diamonds, Natalie K. For the special gift occasion in your year, it's National Jewelry, your diamond and engagement ring store, Reynolds Drive, Ruston.
Tired of your internet going down on a weekly basis? Tired of the price gouging from the large phone and internet providers? There's a new solution in Ruston, Delta Broadband Solutions. Call Delta Broadband Solutions today for a quote on lightning-fast fiber internet and state-of-the-art, feature-rich digital HD phone system for a fraction of the cost of the other providers. Call 232-0570 or go to RustinInternet.com. That's 232-0570 or RustinInternet.com.
And we're back on Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN 97.7. I'm Jason Jones, joined by Matt Valcho and Ben Carlaw. Our title sponsor is Trenton Interiors. Go see Julie Mays, Britt Schoate, or David Hedgepeth in the historic Rogers Furniture Building in downtown Ruston. Matt, who else do we have sponsoring the show?
Other sponsors of Bleed Tech Blue Radio also include Dairy Queen, Brendan Dodge, National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Walpole Tire, Delta Broadband Solutions, Brister Smokehouse, and Ideal Portable Buildings. You can reach us on the Fairway Carts and Menden hotline or text us on the text line at 888-993-7762.
I see we have a text on the Fairway Carts and Garden text line. Unnamed, he said, what's it going to take for Tech to stop being a stepping stone for football coaches and have a chance to be a perennial power in the group of five like Boise State?
I think we touched on it last week.
Yeah, a little bit. And he mentions Boise, and when you were reading that question, it went straight to Boise in my mind. So I think we did touch on that last week a little bit. I mean, Boise is a lot bigger market than Ruston, Louisiana. Ruston's obviously growing. But you saw, you know, even at Southern Miss, you know, years ago, Jeff Bauer in Hattiesburg stayed for a long time. You can have a coach stay. It's just got to be the right fit. But I think it's just going to take the program. You know, Dr. Geis is doing a great job with the university. He's growing the enrollment. But I just think the university's got to get more students. That means more graduates, more money coming back in. Ronnie Walker's doing an amazing job as mayor, bringing in new businesses. They're trying to get more infrastructure. As long as Ruston keeps growing, the university keeps growing, more money will come into the program. If Tech keeps winning like they're doing under Skip Holtz, I mean – Skip's doing an amazing job. They're winning nine games every year. It's just going to keep getting better, and you'll be able to keep somebody around. You know, maybe Skip's here long term. Maybe he's gone. Maybe he'll get a can't say no kind of offer next year. We'll see. But eventually that right coach will stay for 10-plus years. But it's not a bad thing if they keep leaving, because that means you're still winning. You do not want to be stuck like you were in the Jack McNeil era with a coach that you don't want, and you're winning four or five games every year. That's purgatory, and you do not want that.
Yeah, like you said, as long as Tech's winning nine games a year, and like you said, keeping the program from becoming stagnant, you always want there to be excitement around with the university continuing to grow. And like you said, Skip Holtz may be here 10, 15 years. He may leave after next year. Tech never knows. But I know that Tech is an attractive place for young, up-and-coming coaches that are looking to be successful because of the recent history that Tech has and being a winning program.
And if the recent recruiting trends are any indication is that players are also taking notice, that Ruston's growing, the school's growing, the program is growing, and that it's a place that they could see themselves for 4 years. I mean, the thing is I definitely said it last week, and that I hate to, but until you win those big games with Mississippi State coming into town next year, going to South Carolina, until those are W's on the schedule, and you've got maybe a 1 or 2 next to 11 or 10 on your record at the end of the year, and you get those looks and the speculation of, oh, could you be the group of 5 addition to the Access Bowls? And that's really what it's going to take, because Boise State was good for a little while, and they were in the Mountain West out there with TCU, and people were also taking notice. But I think Boise's really big takeoff point was that game against Oklahoma with the Statue of Liberty, and they turned heads.
And that was in 2006. It only took them 5 years. They joined the WAC in 01 with Louisiana Tech. Tech won the WAC that year, and then every year after that couldn't beat Boise. But Boise started out, and one thing is scheduling. They started playing just one big school a year. They played Arkansas, then they played Oregon or Oregon State. They would just play one. And that's you want to get to 10 or 11 wins, don't play 3 big schools. Play one. Where does that – how do you do that? You got to have money. You cannot go play all these money games on the road. And Tech's done a great job whittling that down from 4 to 3 and now to 2. Did a great job. I like this past year's schedule, you know, getting rid of Texas A&M and Mississippi State and bringing in UMass so that you only had to go to 2 bigger schools in Texas Tech and Arkansas. Now, Mississippi State, yeah, maybe they were damn. Maybe it would have been nice to play them. But, hey, they're coming to Ruston next year. And, you know, Tech showed back in 2008, 2009 that they can beat Mississippi State and Ruston. Hopefully they'll be cocky enough to drive in on game day on a bus like they did with Sylvester Croom that year.
And you look at Western Michigan this year for being in the Cotton Bowl playing – Wisconsin, I didn't give them any chance. I mean, it sort of looked like they stuck with them for a little while, but like you said, they were only playing that one big team a year. That gets your record up to that 11-1 where people look. I mean, Western Michigan played in the MAC. I mean, I think one of their biggest games of the season was Power 5 games of the season was Northwestern. Northwestern isn't exactly turning heads in the Big Ten. I mean, maybe not getting these money games. I think, and this is a totally long future preview, but I mean, South Carolina, I mean, I think they're beatable.
Yeah, I mean,
I think the whole schedule's beatable.
Oh, yeah, no, next year, if there's going to be
South
a year.
Carolina, that could be the year. The only thing is breaking in a new quarterback, but yeah. Jamar's shown how talented he is.
And I don't think they're worried about that, especially having Jamar come in against Arkansas, a big, big school that.
Well, and Tech starts with Northwestern next year. Get a game under the belt. Get their feet wet. Get some players some playing time. And
get a little payback from that loss from a couple years ago.
And then you get Mississippi State coming to the Joe, and that's going to be a big one.
Nobody expected Jamar to take Tech to a 21-20 win over an SEC school in his very first start ever. I mean, that's a huge indication of what could come.
And now he's coming into spring as the man. He's got Teddy Veal. He's got all the new guys and – you know, not all the receivers left.
Sure, it hurts to lose Henderson and Trent, but
look at Alfred Smith's back.
Adrian Hardy's coming in. So he's got these guys he's going to be working with all spring, all summer, all fall camp. I think the offense will be clicking. Got a lot of offensive linemen coming back. Have your running backs coming back. The offense will be clicking. I don't think South Carolina can score that well, so I think Tech's got a really good shot of going out there and winning.
Yeah.
And maybe this is the year that you get to that double-digit wins, get the 10 or 11 wins, and get that attention. Now, Matt, you know, Tech did get attention, had Orange Bowl committee come in to a game in Ruston.
Utah State
and laid an egg, you know. But Tech was getting that attention.
But also, I think I can't believe, like, I just completely skipped over this. The obvious – thing that needs to happen for Tech to get that national attention is you have to win the conference.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely,
the past couple of seasons. I mean, they've gotten to the conference title game 2 out of 3 years. It's been within reaching distance, but just Tech, like you said, laying an egg.
Yeah, Tech's gotten within within the grasp of it so close so many
times. Seems to be the case in every sport, too.
In the last 4 or 5 years. And just got to be able to just kind of step on the neck and just finish it off. But
once you win that consistently, then you're looking at people being like, okay, so, yeah, they could compete with these big schools. Well, they got the good records consistently.
And you point out the quality of athlete that Tech is recruiting is increasing. I think that goes a lot to what Jason pointed out about how Tech has 15 players in the NFL. 7 alone last year went to the league, and I bet all 15 of them have gone in the last 3 or 4 years. And yeah, Tech has created a lot of momentum from that, and I think the coaches are recruiting towards that, which is helping them a lot.
You have to grow that number.
Recruit a kid like Amik Robinson that's looking for Tech. He wants that big school, but he has Tech there. He can't just let Tech go because he knows the kind of talent that they put into the NFL.
Yeah, especially if I'm like a defensive lineman and I'm seeing Vernon Butler get picked in the first round. I'm seeing Big Jelly Bean in there playing for the Raiders.
Jalen Ferguson, 15 sacks. He's the next one.
He's going. And
he's a freak. He could be a first rounder, too.
And even several years ago, I mean, Tech had DeAnthony Smith get drafted by the Jaguars defensive lineman. So, I mean, it's definitely the path to the NFL can go through Ruston.
And Ike Enampali got drafted as well.
Yeah, certainly. Forgot about Ike. So there was 4 of them. But, you know, I think maybe the next coach that could possibly stay a long time would be Tim Rattay, if he's the next coach, or maybe there's another coach in between him and Skip, depending on how long Skip stays and how much experience Tim gets. Tim's going to be the head coach of Louisiana Tech one day. Matt, you mentioned Jacob Peeler. You know, long-term, he wants to be the head coach at Louisiana Tech, his alma mater, one day. He's just in his second year as an assistant.
It's just going to take time.
But if you get a guy like Tim Rattay, who's close with Steve Davidson,
big, wants to stick around, he could
big
be your
booster,
guy.
Big booster, big influence with the program. You got Squire Creek sitting out there. You went to school here. All your friends are here. You know, Tim Rattay could be a guy that takes this job and stays for 15 years.
And we know Tim can coach offense with the best of them. Look what he did with Ryan Higgins in his first year as quarterback coach. Higgins was, you know, everyone was questioning what would he be like. And
students
he put up
turning
one of,
on him.
He put up one of the best seasons in Tech history.
And Tim's got a great gig going right now. Just learned under a veteran head coach in Skip Holtz, who's doing a magnificent job. And he's able to just work hard and put in his dues and pay his dues, and he's going to learn from Skip. And when Skip does get that big contract and gets a big offer, you know, maybe Tim will be the next coach. We'll see.
He'll be in contention.
He'll certainly be in the finalist, I would say. And so
I think the biggest thing, too, is patience. Because, I mean, we can talk about it, and I think you mentioned it, maybe the past few years are where most of those guys in the draft came from. It takes a little bit of time to finally get up to that level because, I mean, it's not just going to happen next year. It could if they go undefeated, but who knows. It takes a little bit of time for that snowball to just keep rolling. It's going to get bigger and bigger, and eventually it'll hit something, explode. I mean, it'll take that time, but until then, at least Tech fans know that there's a good product out there on the field or the court. I mean,
hey, no doubt. Big things are happening in Ruston. We've got Jimmy John's now. Chick-fil-A's coming. This is not the same small town that I came to in 1996. This is Blue Tech Blue Radio on ESPN 97.7.
Bulldog fans, this is Chris Brister from Brister's Smokehouse, and I'd like to invite you to our new location, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston, across the street from our old location. Stop in and try our famous scatter load on your choice of 4 different types of bread. Our barbecue nachos are piled high with your favorite type of meat. And you have to taste for yourself our tender and juicy smoke cooked chicken, my personal favorite. So whether you're in town or at a Tech game or just in the mood for the best barbecue in town, come see us at Brister's Smokehouse, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston.
Making your interior design dreams come true. Trenton Interiors and Company in Ruston. Granite and quartz countertops, wood, tile, and vinyl flooring, wallpaper, fabrics, furniture, and lighting, all selected with the help of a professional designer. Owners and designers Julie Mays, David Hedgepeth, and Britt Schoat can turn your dreams into a reality. Trenton Interiors and Company, 111 North Trenton, downtown Ruston, in the historic Rogers Furniture Building. For an appointment, call 255-7698.
Louisiana Tech Sports, a driving force for this community that has allowed Walpole Tire and Service to celebrate 60 years of service. Walpole Tire and Service thanks you for trusting us with all your automotive needs. Today, Goodyear and Walpole Tire Service will save you up to $160 off of qualifying four Goodyear tires or receive a $70 reward card with a purchase of four qualifying Michelin tires. See redemption form at participating dealer for complete details. Offer expires 12/12/2016. Void where prohibited by law. Walpole Tire and Service, Ruston, West Monroe. Go Bulldogs!
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
Oh, my God!
Your smile.
Every Tuesday night at 9:30 p.m. after WWE SmackDown, step into the ring with me, Rick Diamond, for exclusive shoot interviews with pro wrestling's biggest stars like Teddy Long, Rikishi, Vicky Guerrero, Tommy Dreamer, and good old JR, Jim Ross. It's the Rick Diamond Show on ESPN Radio 97.7. Glorious!
Wake up to local sports talk. Jeff Guerrero, the injury attorney, presents The Morning Drive, 7 to 9 a.m. weekdays. Also brought to you by Toyota of Ruston and Car King in Monroe on ESPN 97.7.
Injured in an accident? Call Creed & Creed in Monroe for local experienced representation. This is KNBB Dubac Ruston Monroe, ESPN 97.7.
Welcome back to Blue Tech Blue Radio on ESPN 97.7. I'm Jason Jones, joined by Matt Balcho and Ben Carlisle. Where title sponsor is Trent Interiors. Go see Julie. Go see Britt. Go see David in the historic Rogers Furniture Building in downtown Ruston for all your interior decorating needs. Matt, who else do we have sponsoring the show?
Also sponsoring Blue Tech Blue Radio, Dairy Queen, Brennan Dodge, National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Walpole Tire, Delta Broadband Solutions, Brister Smokehouse, and Ideal Portable Buildings. If you want to get in touch with us, call us on the Fairway Carts of Mendon hotline or text us on the text line 888-993-7762.
Definitely have some great sponsors, you know, and if you want to get your eat on here in Ruston, you know, go see Brister's or Dairy Queen. They're right there next door to each other, and they will hook you up. Oh, yeah, just go to both. Go get you the rib and cheese sandwich at Brister's, then go next door and get all the ice cream that you can stand.
Of course, always. I really like one of these questions on our Blue Tech Blue forum. And, I mean, I wasn't here whenever Speedy was here as a freshman, so, I mean, I'd pretty much leave it to whoever actually knows what they're talking about. But Bracey versus Speedy at this point as freshmen, I mean, who would you take?
I like both, but they're just different to me. They both push the ball. They both want to get up the floor, and they both can pass the ball really well. Bracey is scoring at a much better rate as a freshman than Speedy could.
Speedy could flat out defend. Was a little bigger than Bracey as well.
I think a lot of people are bigger
6'3",
than Bracey.
Yeah. He doesn't look 6'3" for some reason. He just kind of looks smaller. He and Appleby weren't the strongest looking guys in the world, but yeah, he was longer, but and his offense came around his senior years. He started scoring more. But
I think if you compare where they were as freshmen, Bracey's probably a little further along in his development as far as being that scorer. He can do what Speedy did as far as getting in the paint. The only downside to Bracey for me is his lack of size. Sometimes that can hurt you when you're facing a bigger point guard, but you know, Bracey and Speedy. Speedy's one of the all-time greats in Tech history, I think we could all say. But I think, you know, Bracey keeps performing like he's performing. I think he'll quickly grow into that fan favorite that all Tech fans love Speedy like.
Yeah, it'll take a little bit of time. And like you said, his size, that essentially is what brought him to Ruston in the first place. All these big programs, I mean, you see the stat line, and a coach will be just – mouth watering, licking his chops. Oh man, this is a great player. Then you look at him, actually see his size, and most big college program coaches that will look at him. I mean, they can afford to be a little picky because they have those recruits there to fall back on if the size is that big of an issue. But coming to Ruston and performing as he has, I think it's proved the haters wrong. And for lack of a better way to say it.
Well, and you know, Tony Skinn did a great job recruiting him to Ruston. and getting him over here. And they've got another commitment, a forward from that area.
Anthony Drury. Yeah, he's a 6'8 kid. He should be a good big post player.
And another athlete too. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, Coach Skin's kind of got that pipeline going in over there. And you figure with Coach Conkle's ties, you know, being at George Mason, you know, previously, you know, that we might see some different areas open up for recruiting. You know, Mike White was heavy into Florida, and they've got a Florida kid committed too. But and then they dip back into Arkansas, you know, where they got Raheem Appleby. Now they've got the point guard Christian from Hot Springs area coming in.
Yeah, and I think he's a finalist for the McDonald's All-American game. So he's clearly very, very talented.
Yeah, and so the guard depth will definitely be helped when he gets on campus next year. You won't just have those three guys to rely on. But certainly Bracey's exciting, and the sky's the limit for these guys. And I think if they are able to put it together this year and make a run, great. But even if they don't, next year I expect them to be extremely good.
I think another question is in order from the forum, kind of going off of that. A discussion on Conkle's offense against White's offense. Apparently, in the question, he phrases it extremely noticeable the past two games, or is it just me? Great movement on offense.
Oh, yeah, it's night and day. I mean, Mike White was all about defense creates offense.
Yeah, he was about that 40 minutes of hell mentality, chaos.
Yeah, that's, I mean, he played against the Razorbacks when they were doing Nolan Richardson 40 minutes of hell, and his coach Rod Barnes was doing the same thing. It's just chaos and create offense, create fast break opportunities. But when they got in the half court, they did struggle some. But Conkle's really good in the half court. They're trying to drive and kick and get open shots, you know, swing the ball full court, make movement, create movement, get that defense moving and try to find an open shot. And he's got multiple guys out there that can shoot the three, not just Boykins. But when they can find Boykins in the corner, he's deadly. And then, to me, Conkle's just brilliant in the half court.
Oh, yeah, he can create an open shot at will. I mean, he can draw it up with the best of them. And like you said, he gets open shot after open shot. He runs Boykins off screens, and he's open. He can get McCree an open shot.
And then in the timeouts, you know, he's going to draw up something to get somebody an easy basket.
Absolutely. And a lot of that may come from his days when he was with Jim Larrañaga at started out at George Mason, and at now he's at Miami. I think he just won his 600th career game. So clearly he's a real good coach, and I think those ties as far as Conkle learning was very good for him as well.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think Tech's in great hands with Eric Conkle, and they're really picking up the recruiting game too. I mean, getting a national recruit like Bracey, and then the guys they've got committed now, getting the Drury kid out of, I think, Maryland.
Yeah, I think he's out of Maryland, and then Emory Archibald's out of Florida, and Xavier Christian out of Arkansas.
Yeah, getting these, you know, some of these guys from different states, and kind of recruiting at a semi-national level, at least getting in the Southeast and getting up into the East Coast now.
And last year they took three kids out of Texas. So
yeah, now that assistant coach moved on. He went to TCU or SMU. I can't remember which one. And so we'll see. They've got, you know, and then also Omar Sherman is a Dallas-Fort Worth native, even though he transferred from Miami where Conkle was. You know, so you kind of saw the shift from Florida to Texas and now back to maybe Florida. We'll see. Throw in a little Arkansas. You gotta get the natural state kids once in a while.
Love those guys, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Hey.
In every sport, too. Kenneth Dixon and Raheem.
Hey, it's, you know, Willie Rofe is just the greatest of the greatest. You know, you can't help it.
Whatever works.
Hey, we'll come back with one more segment and wrap it up here on Blue Tech Blue Radio on ESPN 97.7.
Get off the interstate and get into Brennan Dodge Chrysler Jeep, and let us show you why your satisfaction is our number one priority. As a certified Chrysler 5-star dealership, we take great pride in the experience you have with us. That's why the customer satisfaction scores you give us continually rank in the highest level. Come see us at Brennan Dodge Chrysler Jeep in Ruston, or shop our website at BrennanDodge.com. You'll experience great deals and award-winning service, and you will know why Brennan Dodge is a certified Chrysler 5-star dealer.
Making your interior design dreams come true. Trenton Interiors and Company in Ruston. Granite and quartz countertops, wood, tile, and vinyl flooring, wallpaper, fabrics, furniture, and lighting, all selected with the help of a professional designer. Owners and designers Julie Mays, David Hedgepeth, and Britt Schoat can turn your dreams into a reality. Trenton Interiors and Company,
111 North Trenton, downtown Ruston, in the historic Rogers Furniture Building. For an appointment, call 255-7698.
For over 30 years, Northeast Louisiana has trusted Carrier and Pierce Service Company with their home comfort solutions. Right now, enjoy 0% APR for 36 months or pay no interest if paid in full within 12. Plus, receive up to $1,450 in cool cash rebates on qualifying systems. It all adds up to increased comfort and year-round energy savings, but hurry, the deals will disappear soon.
With only the best for you, Pierce Service Company.
Contact Larry Hobbs at Pierce Service Company in Monroe.
Wake up!
Did you know? Wake up and hear what you've been missing.
It's the Nick Brown Show. Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 a.m. on ESPN 97.7. Follow Nick on Twitter, Facebook, and listen online at ESPN977.com. Wake up.
Join us this Saturday.
It's the Nick Brown Show, 8 to 10 a.m. Saturdays on ESPN 97.7.
Back on Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN 97.7. We've got one more segment. We're going to close it out. We've got about 8 minutes to go. We had a question in the forums about, do we have any kind of flips we think Tech might snag here in the last couple weeks before signing day? You know, Tech's been recruiting Southern Mississippi pretty hard. Maybe it's just being in a conference with Southern Miss. You're more visible down there nowadays. But Adarius Barnes was a Mississippi State commit and was kind of a surprise flip to Tech. You know, what was that, 4 years ago? And then last year, Kadarian Mason from Southern Mississippi, you know, flipped to Tech from the Eagles, from the Southern Miss Eagles last year. You know, Ben, can you see anybody that Tech fans need to keep an eye on that might be a potential flip to the Bulldogs?
I think the two that we would keep an eye on as far as a potential flip would be Dennis Collins. But like you mentioned earlier, with was his name Milton Williams that committed this weekend, that might have closed the door on that. But Dennis will have a spot if he wants to be at Tech. Dennis is a big defensive end prospect out of West Monroe. And the other one I would look at is Trey Coleman out of West Monroe, the running back that we talked about earlier. He's a Tennessee commit. He'll be in Ruston this weekend, taking in Ruston. I'm sure he knows about it, being from right down the road. But I think Tech will go with the full court press on him and see if they can get him to flip. And the other one would be Amik Robertson. He's a kid that Tech's been on for a long time, really talented cornerback out of South Louisiana, that the sky's the limit for this kid. I think that Tech views him as a guy that could play right away as a freshman. I think that he has LSU visit and a Houston visit left. He was going to go to Oklahoma State this weekend, but I think he backed out of that, and he's going to go down to LSU.
Yeah, you know, we've seen Houston and Texas and Oklahoma State all mentioned with him, and supposedly gets the LSU offer. But are they trying to string him along until they can see who all they're going to get? And it's just one of those things. Is he going to, you know, maybe he grew up in South Louisiana, always wanted to be an LSU Tiger.
That always seems to be the case.
And he's probably going to wait till the last minute to see if they've got a spot for him. Are they going to ask him to gray shirt or whatever?
Are you wondering if that's a conditional offer based on someone else?
Yeah, or is it a gray shirt type offer where, hey, you can come here, but you got to sit out a semester?
I mean, you got to wonder. But it's those big schools, they can do whatever. And for guys like, and this is just total speculation, and I've never met Amik Robertson, but it seems like he was always looking for that bigger offer. And maybe a school's taking advantage of it. I mean, you have to wonder, is it better that he does just go to, and I say smaller, I mean, a school where he could get that playing time almost immediately, where, I mean, he goes to LSU, and the countless numbers of wide receivers have gone there for a couple years expecting to get some playing time, thinking that, oh, yeah, we're great. And then you've got all these incredible talents above them. And I read this article on the Players Tribune. It's a really awesome concept if you've never heard of it, where players basically write their own articles and publish them with the help of writers and editors or whatever. But Jarvis Landry, now with the Dolphins, was an LSU player. He talked about how he was getting heavily recruited. He'd always pretty much planned to go to LSU, but eventually he started looking these other places. Or I say he planned to go to LSU. People had been raised to go to LSU. But he goes to LSU not even having an offer, and he ends up unofficial visiting and commits by the end of the visit because of Odell Beckham and the like. But he said that first day he went in, all the talent that he saw, it almost made him just immediately regret his decision.
Yeah, and, you know, we've seen two players here in the last year, you know, Adarius Barnes, Mississippi State, you know, commitment, maybe that was 5 years ago, he flips to Tech. And then Contrell Bryce was a Ruston guy, had an Oregon State offer.
Looked at Oregon State a lot.
And then Oklahoma came in. Bob Stoops was in Ruston trying to flip him. So Barnes and Bryce come to Ruston, and they're both playing the NFL today in their first year.
And Barnes, Contrell.
And Contrell has a huge game against Dallas Sunday. And
what a hit on Cole Beasley. I've seen that thing everywhere, not even from just Tech accounts. I mean, people were tweeting out, man, this guy rocked Cole Beasley.
And I think he led Green Bay in tackles that day. I think he's really impressing Green Bay faithful up there.
Yeah, so a couple of guys that, you know, didn't get drafted but probably should have, and they're definitely taking every advantage of their opportunities.
Hopefully next year we'll see a little bit more of Paul Turner in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I never understood that. I mean, the guy was one of their stars in the preseason, and every time he did get a chance in the regular season, he did well. But then they never would really give him a chance. I swear it's because their head coach is an NLU grad.
Hey, could be.
Always have that underlying hatred for each other. I don't know. I mean, the future is still bright for Tech and also for these players in the NFL right now. Well, Carlos Henderson, one of the most recent mock drafts that I saw had Henderson going fourth or fifth round. No, maybe it was third or fourth, fifth, somewhere in the middle there to the Cowboys. And I saw Trent going sixth round, I think. Sixth round to the 49ers.
I think it'll be huge for Carlos and Trent to get with teams that fit their style with good quarterbacks. I think Quentin Patton is falling victim to having a bad quarterback. The key to being a good receiver in the league is to have that good quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to be able to get open, run routes, and catch the ball, but you can do all that. If the guy can't put it where it needs to be put, yeah.
Exactly. You're plus going nowhere. Somewhere where your style of play is also fitting, because you look at a guy like Trent Taylor, everybody is always looking at him and thinking, Wes Welker, yep. Patriots, that's where he's got to go. And, I mean, it's not that I don't agree. I mean, that's pretty true. I think he would flourish in New England, especially with a guy like Tom Brady throwing to him and the familiarity of having a short slot receiver who can take those hits like Wes Welker did. I mean, if he's there whenever the Patriots value him, I don't think there's any doubt in my mind that he would go there. But the draft is a very interesting time, and I'm sure we'll talk about this too in the weeks leading up to the draft,
and
where everybody will go. And
I really feel like Henderson would probably be a second-round pick. I can't imagine him going third or fourth.
No,
if Henderson runs well, he's going to be a
second-rounder. It'll take some time, and I think the workouts as well will be huge in that, because just look at what Kurt Hester did with Vernon Butler, ranked second or third round leading up to the draft,
no doubt.
Then he has the pro day that he did, and he gets taken in the late first round.
Well, I think Taylor and Woods both have a chance to get drafted in the sixth or seventh round. It all depends on how they play.
They will be drafted, I think.
In the workouts. And, you know, Tech's going to add to the number 15 players in the NFL this year. Who knows how that number could go. And it just shows what kind of a job they're doing over there at Louisiana Tech. And, hey, who's going to be the next Bulldogs? We'll see in a couple weeks on
Plenty
Sonoday.
Of undrafted free agents as well that could end up
in
the NFL.
And then, Ben, you mentioned Jalen Ferguson. You know, in a couple of years, he's going to be the guy going. But who's going to be the next Bulldogs to sign here? You know, coming out of high school, we've got signing day here in a couple of weeks.
Another recruiting weekend.
And, you know, they're seeing all these players go to the NFL, and I think it's going to have a big impact. Well, we're going to wrap it up. Thanks to Ben Carlisle and Matt Valcho and John Tabor running the board. I'm Jason Jones. We'll see you next week on Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN 97.7.
Listen for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by Trenton Interiors, every Tuesday from 6 to 7:30 p.m. Go deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting with your host, Jonathan Ford. Also brought to you by National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Delta Broadband, Walpole Tire, and Fairway Carts. Thanks for listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN 97.7.